So Proverbs chapter 1, the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So if you turn on to page 642, carrying on in chapter 8, verse 22, in Proverbs, quite a lot in the first 9 chapters especially, wisdom kind of speaks, is personified and calls out. So this is wisdom personified speaking here. Chapter 8, verse 22, wisdom says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields, or any of the dust in the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we ask you for wisdom. You tell us to ask, so we ask you. Lord, these words that we've just heard, please give us wisdom as we reflect on them. Please, would these words shape us? Please, would we be those whose lives are more and more directed by the wisdom which comes from you? In Jesus we pray. Amen. On the 31st of July 2005, a 30-year-old man in Darwin, Australia, arrived home after a night out and discovered that he'd locked himself out of his flat. But it was a top floor flat. And the keys were inside. So he thought, it's okay, I know what to do. I'll climb up and go in through the window. So he did. He sort of scaled his way up. And he made it to the second floor before he fell off and landed, fortunately, on a parked car, which was sort of, you know, soft enough landing. So undeterred, he scraped himself off the broken windscreen and started again. And he did much better this time. He got to the third floor before he fell off. But this time sadly missed the parked car and knocked himself out cold, which was a shame for him. But it did stop him from trying again. How do you do life well? You know, some people can't they? Some people handle life well, the business of day-to-day living. They do it well. Others, not so good. What's the difference between them? Well, it's not a question of how clever you are or how intelligent you are. You can have a brain the size of Barney, but still not have much of an idea of how to get on with life. Nor is it about how privileged you are. You can be born into wealth and prosperity and still not have the foggiest idea of how to get on with life. What's the difference? The difference is down to wisdom. Wisdom is the thing we need if we're going to live well, if we're going to do life well. Wisdom is not just knowing facts or general knowledge or something. It's not the sort of thing you need to pass exams or to win at pub quizzes. Wisdom is practical knowledge. It's about knowing how to do things. Life's full of decisions, isn't it? Big ones, little ones. Day on day. Deciding, 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 deciding. Wisdom is about getting those decisions right. Life is full of different demands, isn't it? Conflicting pressures. All of them vying for our interests and our time and our energy. Wisdom is about knowing what's really important and making sure that the most important things are the most important things in our lives. Wisdom is how to do life well. Some might ask, though, well, what's God and the Bible and church got to do with real wisdom, you know, in the real day-to-day? Because, you see, some people think that Christianity doesn't have much to do with real day-to-day, nitty-gritty, ordinary life. You know, Christianity's a religion, people think. And religions are about, you know, getting a bit of a spiritual buzz every now and again, a few high-minded ideas, a bit of moral direction on a Sunday, but not much to do with what happens at work on a Monday. Church might be nice and all that, but it's hardly practical, think some. But to think like that is to massively underestimate God. You see, God is the God of the universe. He's the God of all of it, not just of a few little bits here and there, like Sunday mornings and church buildings. God is the God who created it. As Christians, we believe that the creator of the universe has spoken in the Bible. Now, that has everything to do with daily life. It's the one who made it all has told us. So this book of Proverbs in particular that we're studying, if you've closed it, open it again, by the way. We'll be looking at it quite a lot. So page, whatever it was, 635? 635. Oh, I almost had it there. Proverbs in particular is all about the nitty-gritty of daily life. So look at that chapter 1, verse 2 again. Chapter 1, verse 2 tells us what Proverbs is for. It says it's for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. It's to help us to do what's right. It's to help us with that in the day to day. It's wisdom, as one writer puts it. The function of Proverbs in Scripture is to put godliness in working clothes. You know, it's not so much about what happens when we're in here in church. It's everything to do with what happens out there in the real world. That's Proverbs. So the aim of these sermons over the next few weeks is to have a listen to what the Bible has to say about real wisdom. That's the aim. We're going to cover some real practical issues, the sort of stuff that bothers us and confuses us on a day-to-day basis. Today, we're going to think about where we start. We're going to think about where does wisdom come from? Because here are two foundational things we need to know about acquiring wisdom, right? The first one is this. There we go. Wisdom begins with God. You've got a little space in your notice sheet. You might want to write these down because it might just help you remember some of the things that get said. Wisdom begins with God. That's the first thing we need to know about acquiring wisdom. Getting wisdom. That first reading we had from Proverbs, it sets the scene for the whole book. In particular, it introduces us to the theme tune of the whole book. The theme that keeps coming up again and again and again. It keeps being repeated. It's the writing that's written all the way through the book like a stick of rock. A writing on a stick of rock. And it's this. So have a look at verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom begins with God. You know, if you want to be wise, well then you need to begin by having a right attitude to God. You see, the biggest, most important fact in all of creation is the fact that there is God, the Creator. That He's there. He's the most important person there is. Because He's made all of it. He's in charge of it. We won't understand any of it if we don't understand Him. The fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. Now to fear the Lord in the Bible sense, that's not, you know, being terrified of God. Fear of the Lord is reverent obedience or worshipful submission. It's the right response to the one true God. We need to make sense of God as He is. We need to recognize God as He is. We need to give Him the respect He deserves if we're going to make sense of the things He's made. That's fairly clear, isn't it? Right, second thing is this. Wisdom comes from listening to the right voice. Again, you might want to write that down. Wisdom comes from listening to the right voice. You see, wisdom is something that needs to be learned, isn't it? You can be born intelligent, but you can't be born wise. Wisdom has to come to you from outside. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often depicted as a voice that calls out to be heard. So have a look at that second reading we had. So flick on 6:42. Chapter 8, verse 32. Look for the little 32 if you're not used to looking at Bible references. Chapter 8, verse 32. Now then, my sons, listen to me, says wisdom. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. See, the Bible assumes that none of us have wisdom already to begin with. All right? There's something we have to gain. We have to gain it through listening and watching and learning. And you have to know that you need wisdom. You have to desire it. In fact, the worst thing you can do is think that you know it all already. That's the worst thing. Listen to this, chapter 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. See, wisdom must be learned. It takes time. You have to think about it. Proverbs isn't a bunch of quick fixes. There are no shortcuts. We need to listen and learn and think. And so, if this series of studies in the book of Proverbs is going to be useful for you, and I very much hope and pray that it will be, well then you need to know that you need wisdom. You need to desire it. And you need to be prepared to think. You know, don't imagine that just hearing a few sermons will do the job. Proverbs doesn't work like that. You need to listen and think. You need to chew it over. In fact, why don't you take up the Proverbs challenge this summer? All right, it's quite simple. It's not very hard. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That means if you read one each day, it only takes you a month. Now, we're going to be going through Proverbs as a church until sometime near the end of August. It's plenty of time, isn't it? You can read it a couple of times in that. But why don't you at least read it once? Read a chapter a day, see how you get on. Because that way you'll find that it'll really help. It'll help you to think it through, help you to chew it over. Are you up for it? What do you think? You see, we need to make sure that we're listening to the right voice, continually, ongoingly. A big theme in Proverbs, and especially in the first few chapters, is this idea of there being two voices that call out to you. One of them is the voice of wisdom, but then there's also its opposite, the voice of folly. Now, folly is foolishness. If wisdom begins with God, folly begins with ignoring God. If wisdom leads one way, folly leads the other. But it's by no means a foregone conclusion that you'll choose the right one. Right? You see, I heard this week of some lawyers who settle divorce cases where there's a dispute over who owns the dog. So what they do is they get the dog and they stick it in some kennels for a month or so. And then at the end of that time, they take it and put it in the middle of a long corridor. And at either end of the corridor are the two newly divorced people. And so they have a go. They say, come on, Fido, come on, boy, over here, come on, come to me. And they each call. And whoever the dog goes to gets to keep the dog. Amazing, isn't it? Not amazing. Anyway, Proverbs says, imagine you're the dog. There are two opposite voices that are calling to you. Which way will you go? Look across the page at chapter 9, verse 4. Have a look at that. You see chapter 9, verse 4? There we hear wisdom calling out. And wisdom says, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Right, that's wisdom. Look down at verse 16, where we see folly calling out too. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. See, wisdom says, come to me and be wise. I'll show you how to live. Folly says, no, if you really want to live, come to me. I can show you how to live a better life. There's two voices calling out. They each lead to very different endpoints, but don't think it's a foregone conclusion that you'll choose the right one, because both of them are attractive in their own way. The book of Proverbs gives us a challenge. It says, choose carefully who you listen to. Because most of us don't think that. We don't choose carefully. We just take in, you know, whatever comes to our attention. We soak it up like a sponge. You know, whatever flicks up on the computer, whatever we see in the newspaper, whatever we hear on the radio or watch on the telly, or what our friends tell us or our colleagues say at work, it just all goes in like a sponge. Proverbs says, be discerning. Be careful what you listen to. It's not all helpful. Choose wisdom. Because to choose wisdom is to choose life. So then, wisdom begins with God. Listen to the right voice and learn. Listen to wisdom from God, not folly. That's the challenge Proverbs gives us. Let's think a little bit more now just about what wisdom is. I've got three characteristics of wisdom for us to think over, just which I hope will help you. The first one is this, three characteristics of wisdom. Wisdom is built into the fabric of the universe. Yeah, there we go. Wisdom is built into the fabric of creation. The reason that God's wisdom is the right way to live is because it's built into the fabric of the universe, into the fabric of creation. Have a look at verse 27 of chapter 8, that second reading we had. Look at verse 27 there, because here again we hear the voice of wisdom speaking. And wisdom says, I was there when God set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep. The message is simple. God made the universe in its entirety, and the whole enterprise was done in line with his wisdom. God's wisdom is built into the fabric of creation. Now that's a really important point. Because it means that wisdom, it's not just a human invention. It's not just something you make up in your head with no real connection to the real world out there. No, wisdom is to do with objective fact. It's a real substantial thing. It's the principle that underlies all of creation. It's built into the real world of time and space. When we follow the way of true wisdom. We're not just doing something that seems to make sense to us at the time. We're going with the grain of creation. And that's hugely different from the way that an atheist would see the world. You know, for an atheist, there's no governing wisdom because there's no creator. History is just, you know, an endless sequence of things that happen because they happen. Life is guesswork, and you have to hope that you guess right. There's nothing fixed to hang on to. There's no plan. No, says God's wisdom, the world is ordered. It is planned by a creator. And the creator has spoken to us. He's given us his words of wisdom so that we can live in his creation. The words of wisdom in the Bible, they're not just some clever thoughts. They're the maker's instructions. See how that's important? Now, I'm a man. And men are rubbish at following instructions. You know that, whether you're a man or not. When I get a new piece of flat-pack furniture, I just want to get out the hammer and bash away. I don't want to have to look at the instructions. But I know, even I know, that at some point I'm going to have to. At some point, I've got to check. I've got to see that I've put the things in the right place. Otherwise, the wardrobe will come crashing down. So it is with God's maker's instructions for the universe. We need to pay attention to them if we're going to avoid serious problems. You know, as wisdom says at the end of chapter 8, whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. You can't ignore what God says without putting yourself in danger. Wisdom is built into the fabric of creation. Alright, second thing to think about wisdom. Wisdom is moral. Wisdom is moral. There's a kind of worldly wisdom. There's a kind of worldly wisdom which basically says, I'll do whatever it takes to get the results I want. Does that sound familiar? You know, it consists in doing whatever you think will work, regardless of whether or not it's the right thing to do. It's the wisdom of Machiavelli. So, for example, you know, there are people, aren't there, who know how to get ahead in life by putting others down, aren't there? You know, people who they can throw their weight around at work. They know how to make their voices heard. But they build themselves up using little lies. And they don't really care about the effect that it has on their colleagues. Does that make sense? You've seen that. Do you remember a couple of years ago when there was that controversy in the press over waterboarding, over the, you know, that was going on in Afghanistan and things like that? And there was that whole discussion over whether or not it's okay to torture someone because torture gets results. The whole do the ends justify the means argument, where some would say, well, if it gets results, it's the right thing to do, if those results are good. True godly wisdom is not like that. True godly wisdom is moral. It's principled. It will not do bad in order to get the results it wants. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Real wisdom comes from responding rightly to God. And God has clear moral standards, doesn't he? He's the God of righteousness. So real wisdom from God is gonna involve righteousness. This is a moral universe. You know, there is such a thing as right and wrong. Now again, atheism can't give you a clear standard of right and wrong. It can't give you a real sense of that. Now, if there is no God, then there are no fixed standards of right and wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that atheists don't have morals. Atheists do have morals. They're God's creatures like everybody else. But the thing is, they don't have a fixed standard of morals. And if that's the case, well, then morals just become a matter of opinion. And so what's right for one person might be wrong for another person. And how do you judge between them? And the more you try and live like that, the more difficult it gets. You get into a sort of moral drift, where everyone blames each other when things go wrong, but there's no unified idea of how to put anything right. Happens in society, doesn't it, that? Happens to individuals as well. And many of us will know what it's like to drift away from the sort of moral wisdom that God lays down for us. Maybe you're experiencing that now. Maybe that's where you are at the moment in your life. Maybe you know that you're not really listening to what God says in the Bible. You're listening to other voices much more, really. And you're drifting. And that doesn't satisfy, does it? It doesn't satisfy you. It just sort of separates you from God and from each other. And it leaves you feeling confused and hollow. That's moral drift. What all of us need is to get in touch with true wisdom. We need to internalize it. And let it work through in our lives so that it shows itself in our action. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, we need to listen and learn from the right voice, don't we? And that brings us on to our third characteristic, which is this. Third characteristic of wisdom. Wisdom is a person. We've already noticed, haven't we, that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom speaks like a person. It calls out to us. It tells us to listen to it and come into relationship with it. Whoever finds me finds life, says wisdom. Come to me and live, says wisdom. You see, Proverbs wants us to get the fact that wisdom is more than just gathering a few thoughts together and trying to do them. Wisdom is personal. Wisdom, in fact, comes from a person. One person in particular. Now, the rest of the Bible helps us with this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Colossians in the New Testament. He says, "My purpose is that they may know Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." See, the New Testament makes it very clear. This is a big Bible theme. The New Testament makes it very clear that it was Jesus himself who was with God at the beginning, creating the universe, ordering it. That language that we read before in chapter 8. Did you see that? The language of someone being with God, delighting in God, creating God's creation with God, right there with him, right since the beginning. That's Jesus' language, isn't it? You look at something like John chapter 1, that's Jesus' language. Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. And he invites us to come to him and receive life, doesn't he? Wisdom says, come to me and live. Jesus says, come to me and live. Proverbs tells us that our lives need to be built on real wisdom from God. Jesus tells us that our lives need to be built on him. He tells the story, doesn't he, of two men. One's wise, one's a fool. The wise man builds this house, and he does it wisely. He sticks in a proper foundation. It's nice and sturdy. The foolish man, he doesn't bother with the foundation. He just throws it up, and he thinks it's okay until the storm comes along, and then the foolish man's house collapses. And Jesus says that the wise man is like everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Jesus himself is the foundation. You know, build your life on him and it will stand. So, the essential first step in becoming truly wise, the wisest thing you will ever do, in fact, is to give your life to Jesus and trust your life to Jesus. You know, if you repent, that means to give up your own agenda, to give up following the other voices, and entrust your life, yourself, your future to Jesus, well then you can be sure that the foundation that you have for your life is good. You can rest your weight on him, and he will not let you down. That's the starting point. That doesn't mean that Christians are automatically wise. I know, we've still got to listen and learn. But the thing is that if you commit your life to Jesus, you can be sure that you're starting in the right place. Because if you're committing yourself to Jesus, well then you're already living in the right fear of the Lord. You're treating God as God by trusting in his Son. And you're listening to the right voice. You're listening to Jesus, the voice of true wisdom, instead of the voice of folly. So you're starting right. You'll need to do a lot more. You need to carry on listening. You need to learn more. You need to get to know Jesus more. If you're going to let his wisdom really work through in your living, that's going to take time. The next few weeks, we're going to be spending time trying to do that, working the wisdom of God out in the nitty-gritty, taking a few more steps down this road of wisdom. But for now, let's make sure that we're starting right. Let's make absolutely sure of that. Let's make sure that we're starting with wisdom himself, Jesus Christ, listening to his voice, not the voice of folly, receiving the true wisdom that comes from God. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, you tell us to ask you for wisdom, knowing that you give generously. So, Father, we do. We ask you. We ask you that you, over the next few weeks, as we spend this time in Proverbs, would shape us according to your wisdom. That you would help us to listen carefully to your voice, to take it in, to chew it over, to think it through. Lord, please make us wise in a way that pleases you. And Lord, we pray for any here who've not yet given their lives to Jesus, who've not made that step. Lord, I pray that you would lead them to that too. That you'd lead them to the wisdom himself, who is Jesus Christ, and renew their living. So Lord, please work deeply in us for the sake of your glory. Amen.